The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Carly Fiorina. I deserve to be the next president of the United States because I have a lot of money. Like, a lot of money. You know what I eat for breakfast? Beluga whales. I would be a better president than Hillary because she's fat and I have better skin. And I have a lot of money. A lot. You know what I shit today? Fabergé eggs. I really should stop eating those. In conclusion, I have a lot of money. Nobody has disagreed with me in 16 years. I should be president. Excuse me. I have to go shit another egg. Vote Carly.
I am Officer Bob Bates, and welcome to Cops Bloopers, Blunders, and Practical Jokes, the show that looks at the funnier side of law enforcement. Now, the Miranda rights have not been used to overturn a conviction since the Carter administration, and here's why. It's quite a lot to remember. Watch.
You have the right to retain silence. Oh, no.
Anything you say can be used against you in a state of law. Oh, wait.
If you do not have that... Oh, fuck.
You have the night to remain silent. Oh, fuck.
I guess you can see why we don't use it anymore. This next tape was sent in by Joan Benson of Inglewood, California.
I can't breathe.
Ouch. I miss it. In our next segment, the joke is on two officers in the 3rd Precinct of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The African-American drug dealer in our next prank is actually undercover cop Ron Simone, who has been talking to Internal Affairs. Let's see what happens when Officer Thomas, who is not in on the gag, shows up.
All right, up against the car, nigger.
No, wait, I'm...
Hands on the hood! But... Shut the fuck up!
Look, I'm a...
Who's got a clean gun? What? What's so funny?
Now it's time for our blooper of the week. This one comes from Dallas, Texas. Check out this major boner.
Look at them. Just a bunch of dirty little monkeys. Like to shoot them all in the goddamn head one by...
Hey, that's not on, is it? God damn it, college boy, you stupid fucking asshole! What's it on now? Okay, well, we've secured the playground. Ready for our next call.
That's our show. Until next week. Be careful out there and stay tuned for America's Funniest Most Wanted.
Unemployment stands at almost 8% in the United Kingdom, but this week insane Brits celebrated the birth of an 8-pound parasite who, along with all other Windsors, will suck on the nation's lifeblood for the rest of the century. Our Pepper Lewis interviewed Sir Bartholomew Kidney Fitzpudding, a royal equerry of Her Majesty the Queen, or in American, a Buckingham Palace flack. He explained the significance of the new royal birth.
Sir Bartholomew, may I call you Bart?
No.
Oh.
Please don't misunderstand. Her Majesty encourages royal equerries to be friendly to commoners like yourself, but in British, Bart is short for baronet. I am a mere knight, not a baronet. Yet.
These distinctions are important to Brits. I mean the British.
Immensely. The great significance of the new royal birth is that now, along with her grandfather Charles and father William and brother George, Britain is guaranteed to have a sizable royal family for the rest of this century.
The economy's in double-dip recession. Incomes are at their lowest level since the Great Depression. But people are thrilled at having to shell out billions of pounds to be ruled by royals for the foreseeable future?
Absolutely. Without royals, where would our wonderful class system be? How would people know their class? You can't have class without a class system.
I wouldn't know. We don't have one.
Which is why Americans have no class.
Oh, snap. Okay, so what's in her future for the new royal toddler?
Well, the popular view of her grandfather, Prince Charles, and her great-aunt, Princess Anne, is that they're complete... Is doofuses a word?
That is a word, yes.
These characteristics jump a generation, so I think we can expect Princess Charlotte to resemble the current Prince of Wales, Sister Anne, and therefore provide us with rather more jollity than her father and mother have.
Great, so she'll frequently be mistaken for a horse?
That's better than being mistaken for middle class.
Getting back to class, isn't there any anger in the British public to yet another addition to a family who do nothing except live incredibly opulent lives in sumptuous properties at the expense of tens of millions of hard-working Brits?
The Windsors have been superb stewards of the British monarchy and its immortal traditions.
Going all the way back to feudalism.
Feudalism had its points.
But aren't the Windsors pretty new on the British scene? Originally came from Germany in the 19th century, no?
Victoria was the legitimate heir to the throne.
And it was during the First World War against Germany that they had to change their name to Windsor.
That is correct. Full marks.
So what was the family's original German name?
We don't usually go into that.
Oh, come on, Sir Kidney Fitzpudding.
Hitler.
Thanks, Bart.
There was a shooting outside a Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest in Garland, Texas. The final edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
I hope there's no trouble next week at the Koran burning.
I think it was an accident. Apparently Muhammad went off while they were cleaning him.
Leave Muhammad alone!
I remember this happened a long time ago when Mahatma Gandhi was shot with a Sikh shooter.
I heard the only reason they shot those guys was because they were aiming at anything colored.
As of right now, there's no proof that the shooting of those dirty little monkeys was racially motivated.
I f***ed an armadillo once.
Mr. President, you know what I'm going to say. And it rhymes with Spengazi.
I think what really offended the terrorists was the cartoon where Muhammad tried to kick the football.
Well, I went into the event. I brought the little one here. We learned a lot about Muhammad. I didn't know he was so well endowed, first of all.
We need Mohammed, not less.
And now, 2020 is proud to present Diane Sawyer with a very special interview.
My guest tonight is someone we've all been looking forward to hearing from. Please welcome Hillary Clinton.
Thank you. Thank you. It'll be hard to get through this, but I'll try.
I didn't realize this was so emotional for you.
Oh, yes. This is a major announcement for me.
I thought you already made your major announcement.
This is my major, major announcement. Sorry.
Easy, easy. What is it you're here to tell us?
Well, for decades, I haven't been myself. I've always been pretending, and now I'm not. Now I'm transitioning.
Tell me about your transition. And when you first knew you were a man.
A man? No, I'm not transitioning to a man. Why would you think I'm transitioning to a man?
I could have sworn I heard you say you were becoming a man.
Really? Who are you, Brian Williams? I'm transitioning out of my party identification.
What does that mean?
I'm becoming a trans Democrat.
You're getting party reassignment surgery?
Yes, Diane. It's successful in 90% of all cases, and it's covered by Obamacare.
So you can finally be...
Who I am. I mean, as much of me as anyone can take.
As a Democrat.
As a Republican. You're confused. I have Republican beliefs, and I'm the Democratic nominee. Try emailing from my home server.
Name one Republican belief.
I'll give you two. I voted for the Iraq War, and I believe in fracking.
You mean pure, unadulterated fracking? The kind that turns people's faucets into spouts of fire?
Please, I believe in fracking with safeguards.
Most would say that's a meaningless term to sell a practice harmful to both consumers and the environment.
And I'm promoting it. Not just here, but in Europe, where there are little or no regulations.
Is it hard, being a Democrat with such hardcore Republican beliefs?
I'm tired of having no one to talk to about taking money from big oil, big coal, and big banks.
You know, Bruce Jenner's a Republican.
I'm not a Republican, Diane. I'm a trans-Democrat.
When your transition is complete, what can we expect?
I'll be the same Hillary Clinton you always had no clue about.
Thank you, Democrat Hillary Clinton.
Trans-Democrat Hillary Clinton, have you not been listening to one single word I said?
They don't like it when I roll my R's. Here if I do it more. Next on the final edition.
Okay, I think you should do all of this.
What?
I'm just...
You don't improvise, that you're telling me?
No, I can't improvise this. There's not enough substance to get my teeth into.
After these messages, the final edition radio hour will go to pi squared.
We will be right back after this.
Yeah, do something French. Imagine drinking wine.
Just did.
We'll be back to discuss on the final edition radio hour.
Okay, these are incomprehensible. That's enough.
We'll be back soon with more of the final edition
radio hour! Pull up your pants, we're back! It's the final edition radio hour!
Hello, and welcome to News for Women. All the news women need to know.
So let's dive right in. We've been hearing a lot these days about an internet phenomenon called hashtag real beauty.
Many women have been furthering the cause of feminism by posting empowering pictures of themselves with no makeup on.
So we asked you to send us your hashtag no makeup selfies for us to celebrate on air today. And they're coming in right now. Here we go. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. Oh, no. Is that even a face?
Wow. Seriously, you need to get a mask or a paper bag and put it over your head till you learn what highlighter is for.
Hashtag sallow undertones.
Hashtag get an eyelash curler.
Hashtag holy shit, those are not your pores.
Hashtag do something about your cheekbones.
More on that story later.
And now, in other news...
She is barely a week old, but the royal baby is already causing a media stir. We ask the question you need to know the answer to. Is Princess Charlotte Elizabeth Diana already too fat?
All the skinny on the skinny. Only here on News for Women. You're watching Hype Talk, Domestic Boxing Championship Edition. Out of the ring, into the home. I'm a token female presenter, and with me are two guys who are going to do all the talking.
Here we are, just moments away from the start of domestic boxing championship season.
Which is all the time.
Intense!
We never know exactly when a domestic boxing match is going to take place, but one thing we do know, things are going to get physical. A lot of talk this season about Floyd Money Mayweather. Gotta tell you, I think Deadspin was right on the money here. With a domestic boxing record of 7 official assault charges, 5 women down, he's gotta be a strong contender.
Woo! Impressive stuff!
And not just because of his style, not just because he knows how to take care of business, but because he's actually a professional boxer. Fighting, let's say, the mother of one of his kids, or a couple of chicks he gets mad at a bar in Vegas.
You know it. Flash forward, round 1. He's working, he's hustling, he's jabbing, getting a couple bone crunches.
Ah, she's feeling it, she's cowering, she's maybe begging for mercy a little bit.
You know, at his level of domestic boxing, I don't care if she's taking 6 weeks of self-defense at the Y, or she's got some of those, you know, long, sharp fingernails, or she's even got a pepper spray in her purse. If he's in the zone, there's only one way this can go.
Smart Money says she's spitting teeth to the ropes while her kid's calling the cops from inside a bedroom closet.
That's domestic boxing for you.
It sure is. You know, it's a sport that's been gaining momentum over the last few years. Lots of folks getting involved.
Yeah, good to see some NFL players branching out.
Yeah, but not only cultural icons. Your folks at the grassroots, amateur level are discovering the sport.
An equal spread across race, class, geography, too, which is good to see.
22% of women getting to participate in the game in the U.S. alone.
So, you know, feminism, am I right?
Dead right. Right. Beaten to a pulp, dead right.
Good morning, freedom-loving folks of America. I'm Michelle Bachman, and I've taken time out of my busy schedule of being pro-American, not vaccinating my kids with retard juice, and being pro-American to say this. If you think there's no connection between gay marriage in America and the earthquake in Nepal, you obviously don't know the way God thinks. Now, some of you are wondering, gee golly, Nepal's an awful long way away. What's that got to do with the high court gay so-called marriage debate here in America? And to you I say, have you checked out your Bible? For lo, some of the Israelites did prefer to live peacefully man with man or woman with woman and call it marriage. So the Lord wrathfully smote an unrelated tribe in a distant land as a sign of their wrongdoing. You probably remember that now from Ephesians 9:19. Look at the facts. Gay marriage debate happened. An earthquake also happened. Those two facts are indisputable, but President Obama doesn't want you to know that. Interesting, right? There's a lot of things about the gays that Obama isn't telling us, like some of them are Islamists. How many people do you know have cancer right now? And how many people do you know who are gay right now? Do you wish you could drive a bigger truck? Is someone you ever met one time a gay? See what I mean? Luckily, God has a plan for all that if we listen to what He's thinking. Okay, yep, God coming through loud and clear. You want us to do what? To drive the fornicators into the ocean and make America great again? No problem, God, I am on it. Okay now, bye-bye. Oh, and say hi to Jesus for me. Bye. Pretty clear, right? So take a moment to think seriously about the state of politics in this once great country of ours. Really, think about it. I'm Michelle Bachman. Think about it.
Well, first I married someone I met on OK Stupid.
Then we got divorced, and we're fighting over the kids. It's a nightmare.
But when you get screwed by OK Stupid, you just gotta get back on OK Stupid. That's where I met Don.
I'll make my own soap.
At OK Stupid, we match up idiots and help them push their lives in new directions. Our patented personality test guarantees your match will make decisions in the same wrenching, short-sighted way you do.
Anyone who has dog fights in his apartment!
Oh, this again. You're a broken record.
Get that special person who's in your life permanently, no matter what, at OK Stupid.
He's got a knife.
Don't worry, I'm a minister of God.
You're both crazy. Get out.
But my ministry.
This is the police. Open up.
Damn it. The police. Flush these dogs.
Hello. My name is Carly Fiorina. As your president, I will run this country like a business because this government has been failing upward for too long. It's time we told this government that we went in another direction. Because we, as a nation, need to step into our cubicles together and get America back to work. I promise you, as your commander-in-chief, I will think outside the box, run ideas up the flagpole, and square the circle by cascading relevant information up the strategic staircase. It's time to reimagine government. My experience in the executive branch of Hewlett-Packard has enabled me to make the hard decisions. I'm proud of my track record and my attention to detail. My father is my hero, and I see myself being reelected in 5 years. The first cabinet member I will hire will be Becky, my administrative assistant, who will cut the deficit in half by ending needless supply closet acquisitions. Although none of us want to downsize America, let's face it, it would be a lot cheaper if we outsourced our Mexicans to China. And I don't mind telling you, America, the refrigerator is disgusting. I will be tough on corporate terrorism, along with the real kind. My terrorist task force will meet daily, fueled with determination, pastries, bagels, a variety of spreads. And you can count on me to get the job done, even if that job is temp to perm. My name is Carly Fiorina, and I'm running for the title of President of the United States. I truly believe that I'm the best woman for the job, as my LinkedIn profile clearly shows. So vote for me and help me get America's stock back on margin.
Congratulations, sir, on being the first millennial president of the United States.
Well, not much time to gloat. Dick Cheney is still out there somewhere killing hookers.
Absolutely. Just some HR stuff to go over.
Sure.
One of the challenges of the presidency is keeping your work week under 35 hours.
Right. Anything more than that and the job is full time.
Yeah, then we've got to give you benefits, vacation, blah, blah, blah. We can't afford any of that.
Right.
The office of the president has to be part time or we can't keep it in the budget.
So what if I have a national emergency that goes longer than 7 hours?
We've got a partnership agreement. If you really have to go overtime, we can say you are doing another gig as president of a different country.
Sweet. That'll look good on my resume, too. So there's no benefits?
Well, there's food. You get a 30% discount on one sandwich per shift.
Nice.
And it's usually someone's birthday, so there's cake. Oh, and we have soda. We don't really count those, but, you know, don't abuse the privilege. We had a guy in here who kind of ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, I know the guy you mean.
Well, that's about it, I guess. Here's your paper hat.
Wow, it's true what they say. It's really soiled.
Can't afford a new one.
No, this is fine.
And by the way, some outside agitators have been coming around trying to unionize the presidency. I mean, you know, it's your decision to make. They're always talking about cutting this job if it gets to be a problem. So, you know. Anywho, I leave you to it.
Hey, thanks. Hey, by the way, I got a notice that the rent on the White House is going up, and the pay doesn't cover it. What can I do about that?
I don't know. You're the most powerful man in the world. You figure it out.
Oh, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, folks, you ain't got the do-re-mi. Why, you better go back to beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia.
I'm Tony Hendrow.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And we want to talk to you about the hardcore satire we do on the Final Edition Radio Hour.
It's not just satire, Tony. It's parody, ridicule, caricature, lampoon, burlesque, banter, mockery, spoofs.
Oh, I guess. And it's also pastiche, pasquinade, with some persiflage and raillery thrown in.
The Final Edition is a big tent, Tony.
We do satire. Satire hurts. All that other stuff just tickles.
Jonathan Swift once said a little satire goes a long way.
No, he didn't. That was Aristophanes.
Actually, it was David Brooks.
We do satire because satire can bring down empires.
Oh, right, like Colbert's satire of Bush at the White House Correspondents' Dinner ended the war in Iraq.
You're just being a bitch, man.
What we do on the Final Edition Radio Hour is make the good people laugh, any which way. Do you disagree, Tony?
No, I guess not.
Okay, so listen to
the Final Edition Radio Hour.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour, continuing our ongoing interview series about satire and its place saving or destroying the world. Our guest this week is Lee Papa, author of the Rude Pundit blog, which is
rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Yeah, no one reads blogs anymore, so it doesn't matter.
He's dead to us.
He's also author of a book, The Rude Pundit's Almanac. He's written some plays. He, for a while, was co-host of the critically acclaimed Cheater and the Rude radio show on Progressive Radio.
That was one of those titles that we sort of crapped out where
we were ahead of our time. We were two guys talking about politics and being interesting before everybody that's ever been an open mic.
We were being interesting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we used to complain a lot about how we had to drive and park on the Upper West Side.
Yes, yes. That made us so with the people.
And we were also, I believe our description was that we were satirical ninjas.
And sure. That's right. That's right. And our wearing black pajamas to the studio helped.
Yes, but it actually made us blend in with the rest of the people there. But enough about
I think the big problem is our voices actually sound very much alike.
They do.
Yeah.
That's why I've been able to continue Cheetah and the Rude without you for almost 2 years now.
It
and
would
no one
be
knows.
Really easy.
The one fan keeps complaining. It's like, wait a second. Anyway, Lee is here because he uses satire and wit to make some points. I would say your style, particularly on your blog, is how would you just describe it in terms of the use of language and colorful imagery?
I always say that that it is a scatological, pornographic take on politics. I think of it as I'm sitting around in a bar talking to people and are we allowed to say bad words?
Yeah, you can say bad words.
Talking shit in a bar and then this is the kind of stuff we come up with. We spin out wild sexual fantasies about various politicians. We say terrible, awful things about them. And so that's what the blog is.
It reminds me actually of a more regularly, artfully done version of an old Bill Hicks joke, which I can't remember the characters, but it's basically like, let's say it was like Jesse Helms in a bathtub while Ronald Reagan or Nancy Reagan took a shit in his mouth or something like that.
Well, I mean, there's so many of them. There's the great Paul Krasner piece about LBJ threatening to have sex in the hole in Kennedy's head. So, you know, as far as I go sometimes, and I've gone that far,
right.
But it's been done before.
Right. What do you – has it been a conscious choice? Have there been times when you've thought I shouldn't do this? What is the response? Like, just speak semi-generally about the use of that sort of imagery and language as opposed to those that would pull back and try to censor themselves.
Yeah. Every time I think I'm about to censor myself, I sort of punch myself in the face.
And push farther.
Yes. And say, you know, if you do that, you're letting some kind of force of censorship work. That said, I will say that there are a couple of words I've pulled back on using because it was just more trouble than it was worth. You know, if all anybody's going to do is read the word cunt and then not read the rest of what you have to say, then, you know, why use the word cunt? And
you want a British readership.
Right, exactly. And when, fortunately, you know, the Brits and people in Australia, I have a really strangely large Australian contingent of readers.
Huh.
Yeah, I feel as if I went to Australia, I'd be welcomed there as some kind of demigod of
American satire. Is it Australia that's recently come out from under? No, Australia has a good – I didn't mean that at all. See, that's how brilliant I am. The prime minister who was the total prick. Wait, they have the redheaded prime minister who's good in Australia.
No.
Or do they have the really prick asshole?
They have the prick asshole who denies climate change while Australia is baking to the point where – I love this about Australia. Australia is baking so badly that they had to come up with new colors on the weather map to show how hot it actually got there.
What? Did they go to the black? Like how? What is the dark red?
It was. You know what? They may have called it menstrual blood red.
That's good because Mother Earth is.
Yes.
She's returned from menopause, and that's why there are volcanoes all over the Earth popping up right now. I thought sort of combining both your use of colorful imagery and also the importance of satire and free speech. I think it was today or recently you wrote something about this Pamela Geller, awful person, we all agree worldwide, the shooting in Texas.
Which, by the way, I truly did everything I could to hold back from using the word cunt because, you know, it's – but sometimes it's just a – I usually reserve it for Ann Coulter. That's where I am now.
I think that was actually the first title of her third book.
Yes.
Cunt.
Cunt.
Should have been. But Pam Geller, she deserves it. Did you use that word? I don't remember.
I did not use it.
But you did use a nice image of – and it's a true image and your point it was made. And the idea that if she – I don't remember if it was you said you would do it or she should see it. The image of her basically getting fucked by Muhammad and them both saying to each other, what was it?
It's her getting if I was going to draw something for her Muhammad cartoon show.
Right. We all know, listeners all know, so let's not bother.
Okay. So if I was going to draw something and try to win the $10,000, I would have drawn her on all fours getting fucked in the ass by Muhammad. Not rape. She was wanting it. Mm-hmm. And that she, a bubble coming out of her mouth saying, without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I'm nothing.
Now, I was remember thinking about that image, and ironically, one of the first times there was a sexual image I didn't spend a long time thinking about. I'm wondering, maybe it should be a joint bubble. Maybe they both are saying, they both are saying at the same time.
That would have been interesting if I'd have had some jihadi that was like, jacking off in her face. See that there? There was a whole other level that I missed.
Well, you're not much of an illustrator. So
yes.
If you can, this is kind of the frightening thing I've always thought for myself, and more true for you, is that if you had the drawing skills to match the images in your mind, we'd all be fucked.
Oh, basically. I would have been arrested a long, long time ago.
What I found interesting about the Geller thing, and maybe you have, I'm sure you have thoughts on it, is her attempt to throw herself into martyrdom. With what did she say? Rosa Parks, I think she said. I don't know if she's outright compared herself.
No, she outright compared herself to Rosa Parks.
Rosa Parks, because she's. Rosa Parks is black, and her soul is black. I don't know.
I don't know how she was oppressed, Pamela Geller.
All her life, she's been oppressed by being a terrible person and having to deal with it.
Yes.
But also, more importantly, Charlie Hebdo, who we've talked a lot about on the show. Tony had some connections to. Has she outright compared herself to the Charlie Hebdo people?
Yes, she's outright compared herself to Charlie Hebdo, essentially saying that she should – I guess we should all be saying je suis Pamela or something like that. Except, she needs to get shot before we say that.
I don't believe we are condoning.
No, we're not. No. I'm not condoning it. I'm saying –
I didn't say you were.
If you're going to claim that you are the same as Charlie Hebdo, then you'd better,
be the same as Charlie Hebdo. Yes. Attempted murder. Attempted – being just, martyrdom is not just, the same as...
Yes.
Anyway, how did you, as someone who were just talking about using imagery and feeling like sometimes things are not worth the trouble, I think Charlie Hebdo had made a decision that was different that said there's something that's worth the trouble and we're going to keep on doing it.
Well, I think that Charlie Hebdo thought that it really kind of would have been bullshit and unfair to not attack Islam in the same way that they attacked Judaism and Christianity. Mm. I mean, if you look through some of the covers, I mean, there are some amazing anti-Christian ones. There are some and it's not that it's anti they're not attacking really the people as much as they're attacking ideas,
Right.
I think Jeffrey Goldberg actually wrote about that today. They were equal opportunity and still are equal opportunity offenders, and in fact rarely ever put religion on the front of their magazine. So were they being deliberately provocative, but I think that what they were trying to do is say that this is not what Islam is, and unfortunately it's been seen by some, even some on the left, as being Islamophobic. I think Glenn Greenwald has called it hate speech. So what they were doing, is it funny? You know what? There's an occasional thing now and then that's kind of funny. Mostly it's sort of that crude, French humor,
right,
that French love a good fart or a good shit joke for some reason.
Jerry Lewis was huge over there.
Yes.
Because
of
all his scatological rape jokes.
That's it. That's it.
He
so.
Do you think I totally lost my train of thought thinking about Jerry Lewis doing scatological hey lady shit on my face.
By the way, that's the second shit on my face thing that you've said.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure you didn't just interpret something I said as meaning shit on my face?
No, I believe if we rewind the tape here
that we don't have that technology.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have that. Well, third time's a charm, literally. So have you – I mean, what I always found interesting about the Charlie Hebdo discussion and then with Geller is the people that always claim that their free speech rights are being trampled in America, when all that's really happening is, for instance, we stop shopping at Chick-fil-A, or we say, I don't like what you're saying, shut up, or we ask you to leave a university, which is sometimes an overreaction, but it's not literally killing you, and it's not stopping you from saying, like, Pamela Geller can go say and do all the stupid shit she wants. She just has to deal with the consequences.
Right, right. Let me tell you how much free speech is threatened in the United States. Today, I don't even remember where the link was from, but it took me to a petition on the White House website. Mm-hmm. That was a petition for Barack Obama to hang himself to death live on TV. The rationale was that, you know, we don't want somebody to kill him because he'll become a martyr then, and, you know, you don't want that to happen. Now, it had only collected 371 signatures, which...
What's the threshold to actually get it considered?
It's like 100,000.
Okay.
So it's not like at any point somebody's going to have to say, no, Barack Obama's not going to hang himself on live television.
Or no, we're not secretly building a Death Star like they had to.
Right, right,
like
right. So, but it was.
But it's there.
That's free speech. You want free speech? There you go. Somebody just was in, wanted the president to die live on TV. So, you know, kind of go fuck yourself if you somehow think that that your free speech is being abridged just because you don't seek to outright provoke someone, and you know, that's
or just because you are don't have a TV show, you don't have free speech. That's not free speech violation. That's just the TV is stupid.
Right.
I mean, that's what gets me. People like will lose a show, like Rush Limbaugh when they were talking about trying to get rid of him, like losing his advertisers. Like, no, he can still. I can write rushlimbaugh.blogspot.com. I mean, like, there's still
and nobody will read him. Yes.
No, you have quite a readership.
I'm probably in. I found out though that I'm in the one. I'm a part of the 1% on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. If you have
a certain
if you have above 10,000
that
followers,
makes you 1%.
That makes you in the top one. Well, if you think about it, there's like 900 billion people on Twitter.
I was going to say. You know. I feel like everybody I look at has like 100,000 or something. I don't. And it's just more jealousy feeding because I'm the soulless person.
I know. Well, you know, you look at it and you go, who the fuck is this guy
right.
that has 100,000 people? You know, and if you start measuring your life by that, and I'm sorry, Jeff, that you do, but.
I have mismeasured my life. In so many ways, I don't even give it anymore. Is there anything topic you want to talk about? A project you want to work on? Anything particularly on your mind? I think actually voiced Rush Limbaugh for us 2 years ago.
I really did that.
Remember
didn't
that?
I? Yeah,
it was good. We have a video of that online.
Do you?
It's inside Rush Limbaugh? But anything?
Wow.
Anything you want to talk about too? The listeners to the show are wonderful people.
Yeah. Is there anything that I mean? You know, I think that I feel very depressed about the election coming up.
Because of the inevitability and unsexiness of it?
I mean, it's the inevitability. You know, it's like, all right, are we really – I think I said a couple of months ago, are we really going to have to go through the next, you know, nearly 20 months at that time before Hillary beats Jeb Bush?
We're going to get sidetracked into another discussion, but
sure.
Do you give any – there's two things about Hillary that have recently come across. One is the fact, for me, she came out and her first as official candidate thing was, I'm going to overturn Citizens United. And she said something else. I forget what it was, but I feel like, excuse me, I was convinced she was just going to play safe right down the middle. On
I heard your sketch earlier.
But she actually, I mean, you know,
she wants to expand on Obama's immigration policies. She just announced that today.
Which I don't know if that's a way to say, hey, lefties, get a little excited for me, because the big problem is she's worried that lefties won't be excited for her or what it is.
You know, I wrote something that I got a lot of grief for, which was, and this was before Bernie Sanders got in, and I was wrong in that, and I said that Bernie Sanders wasn't going to get in because there was a point where Sanders was saying, I don't want to do anything to prevent a Democrat from winning.
Right. And he's not running as an independent. He's running
He's running as a Democrat.
And he'll probably say, don't vote for me once at the generals.
Right. So, but it was, could we all just shut the fuck up and support Hillary on the left? You know, because we do this all the time. We chase that liberal unicorn and we think that somehow there's going to be somebody that's going to come along and be that person. And because we do that, we end up in opposition to whoever the major candidate is, and we are not part of the conversation. We're not. Instead, it could be, hey, why don't we support Hillary? And now let's talk policy. We're on your team. Now let's talk about what we want.
Right. Which, in a way, is I think what maybe Hillary is seeing is actually going to happen, And she's bringing to the table ideas that I think are fairly to the left of what you thought she would be more center. She thought she'd already be planning the general election, and it seems like she's actually giving credence to what does the left want.
Well, but it's not like she's taking – I mean, you know –
she's not extreme left.
But even the liberal positions she's taking are actually pretty popular, you know. Right. She's certainly not going to – you know, I think on immigration, not only – I mean, there
well,
is –
all the left's ideas are pretty popular.
They are. They are, except in a few districts in – except in conservative states.
Right.
You know what I love, though? Just one more Hillary Clinton thing. I fucking love that she's going before the Benghazi committee again.
Oh, yeah.
I think she is going to pants those guys and just rip their nuts off.
This is what I think Hillary has finally done. She took 4 years off of being a politician or whatever, 2.5 from Secretary of State. And she's like, F it. Like, what does she have to lose?
Yeah.
Like, and I would love to see that. Will it last? Who knows? I mean, but she's been in the spotlight and been relentlessly attacked for 20 years now? 26?
Yeah.
I mean, like, good for her just to say effort.
What the hell are they going to say at this point?
What are they going to say? What are they going to do? And if I lose, so who cares?
You're right.
She's done plenty. I mean, like,
right.
She's probably – is she the most accomplished female politician in American history? Probably.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can make an argument that a Barbara Boxer or something
right.
like
I mean,
that.
The longevity of career. But, like, as far as – anyway. We started rambling, and this is why we did the show in the first place, our show. But
yes.
Now we're doing this show, which is the final edition Radio Hour. I've been talking with Lee Papa, author of the Rude Pundit blog. Tell me the address again for people.
RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Go check him out. Every day he posts something awesome. And we'll be back after this.
And now, some more of the final edition Radio Hour.
Tony, we gotta come up with a promo. Our listeners don't know enough about all the great stuff the final edition does. Even when we tell them it's all this like blah 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 dot 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 www URL crap. No one gets what that is on radio. They just tune it out.
Well, I have the perfect way to hold their attention while we give them the goods. When I was at the National Lampoon in the 70s, our most famous cover had a cute mutt with a .38 Magnum to its head and the legend, "Buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog."
Yeah, I remember that, but how does that help us? It was a visual image for a magazine.
Meet Freckles.
Freckles? Oh, there. Good boy.
Yay!
What's the matter then?
Also, meet my .38 Magnum.
Jesus Christ, you have a gun? Don't wave that thing around here. Is that thing loaded?
Sure is. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. If you don't stay tuned to this promo while Jeff gives you all the necessary info about our fabulous website and our fabulous YouTube channel and other fabulous stuff we do, I will shoot this dog.
Jesus, man, take the gun out of that defenseless animal's ear.
Give him a goods, Jeff.
Oh, my God, poor Freckles. Okay, fine. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour, you want more of what we do, go to thefinaledition.com. Our radio airs on this network on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 8, as well as Wednesday at midnight. We've also got an album, we've got a Twitter feed, we've got a great YouTube channel, Facebook, everything you can want at thefinaledition.com.
Now, tell them to tap all that into their iPhones or leave themselves an audio memo.
No, I won't. I told them enough, Tony. I'm calling yesterday.
Tell them, or the dog gets it. I'm cocking the gun right now.
Okay, listeners, please, write this down. Thefinaledition.com. Thefinaledition.com. Go there for everything you want from the final edition, or this crazy old British coot is going to plug old Freckles.
Okay, that wasn't so hard, was it? Come here, Freckles, you dumb old chum. Hey, get down! Get down! Get away from me! Get, you crazy cunt!
Good job, Freckles!
Get him!
Sick him! Oh, yeah, this is Jeff Kreisler for the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. 8 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Midnight on Wednesday.
No, Freckles, put that thing down! You don't have opposable thumbs! No!
Hey, Cindy, give me a bass ale. Mind if I sit down?
No, go right ahead.
I'm Kevin. Good to meet you.
Hey, I'm Dan. Pretty busy in here tonight.
Are you kidding? This is nothing compared to last night. Last night was packed.
Oh, yeah?
It was the playoffs.
Oh, right.
How about those playoffs, huh?
You know, I missed the playoffs.
You missed the playoffs?
Yeah.
How could you miss the playoffs?
I don't watch the playoffs.
I never miss the playoffs.
Playoffs were good, huh?
No, the playoffs were awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't you see any of the playoffs?
No, I did not.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe you didn't see any of the playoffs.
Well, it's true. I completely missed the playoffs.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, Rick, would you believe this guy didn't see the playoffs?
You didn't see the playoffs?
No, I didn't see the playoffs.
How could you not see the playoffs?
I asked him that, too.
You mean you saw some of the playoffs, right?
No, I didn't see any of the playoffs.
So, what are you doing here?
Well, I know what I'm not doing. Blending in.
Hey, everybody! This dude's bragging to me about he didn't see any of the playoffs!
You didn't see the playoffs?
You didn't see
the playoffs? How did you miss the playoffs?
What the hell is wrong with
you? Why do you hate the playoffs?
Why don't you go somewhere else?
Why are you even here?
What are you, blind?
You have a problem with the playoffs?
Sorry, I just didn't want to see the playoffs.
What have you got against people who watch the playoffs?
Believe me, I have no particular feelings about any of you.
Oh, he thinks he's better than us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, look at you. Wait,
you see?
You're better than us?
Oh, seriously, what's the guy's shirt he wear?
Where's he get that?
Raymond? Come on, you smart boy.
I was just kidding. Of course I saw the playoffs.
What did you think of the playoffs?
They were awesome.
Awesome?
Are you crazy?
You didn't even watch the playoffs.
That was horrible.
Worst officiating ever. Nice work, buddy. Now you've done it.
You dumb. Dumb. Dumb.
What was the matter with you?
Good night.
They're in the gate, and they're off in the Kentucky Derby, and getting to an early lead is Watch Me Run Out of Steam. Also out front are Shooting for Second, and Third's My Kind of Place. Settling nicely along the rail is Content with Mediocrity, and running on the outside is I Only Do This for the Exercise. They're racing towards the first turn, and it's still Watch Me Run Out of Steam leading the way. Running in sixth is I'd Rather Be Crazy. Running in seventh is Glue Factory Bound. And Screw the Derby, I'm Out of Here is running in eighth. This Gal's Going into Labor is in ninth. Secretly Strapped with Explosives is in tenth. And running in 11th is Nobody Knows It, But I'm Going to Buck Off My Jockey. Then, third to last is Always Finishes First, followed by Marked for Death. And finally, When Will They Realize That I'm Actually a Moose, is the last of them all. With 5 furlongs to go, it's still Watch Me Run Out of Steam with a slight lead. I'd Rather Be Grazing has stopped to eat the infield grass. In passing him are Marked for Death and Nobody Knows It, But I'm Going to Buck Off My Jockey. As they round the second turn, it looks like Screw the Derby, I'm Out of Here. He's making a big move on the outside. No, wait. He's hurtling the far post and is galloping off to the parking lot. The rest of the pack is continuing around the second turn, with the leader, Watch Me Run Out of Steam, reaching the halfway point at a blazing 43 and a half seconds. The filly, This Gal's Going into Labor, is slowing to a trot and is now delivering a sprightly baby foal. Passing her on the right is Secretly Strapped with Explosives, as well as Always Finishes First. Ahead of them, Glue Factory Bound is gaining tremendous speed and is charging to the front of the pack. Glue Factory Bound is moving to the third place. And now he's moving to second place. And now, he is down. Glue Factory Bound's left hind leg snapped. Oh, and he's being trampled by the other horses. Especially the giant three-year-old. When will they realize that I'm actually a moose? And as the rest of the pack is stampeding ahead, a rifle is being fired from the grandstand. And another horse is down. It's none other than Marked for Death. Startled by the gunshot was Nobody Knows It, But I'm Going to Buck Off My Jockey, who is bucking off his jockey and is now running disqualified, barebacked, and free. The rest of the pack is rounding the final turn, and down the home stretch, Watch Me Run Out of Steam is digging in with everything he has. But closing in are Always Finishes First and Secretly Strapped with Explosives. Watch Me Run Out of Steam doesn't have enough gas. He's being passed by Always Finishes First and the Arabian Secretly Strapped with Explosives. It's a two-horse race at the 16th mile marker, and they're neck and neck. The tenacious Always Finishes First, and the ferocious Secretly Strapped with Explosives. And at the finish line, it's
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, James Mount, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. Credit to our writers at the Final Edition Radio Hour, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Abby Parker, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Lank, Leslie Shapira, Kurt Weitzman, Kate Knowles, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio edited and engineered by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014.